Our scripture reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. If you would like to follow along in the Pew Bible, you can find the words on page 1437. God loves you and has chosen you to be his own special people. So be gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient. Put up with each other and forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as Christ has forgiven you. Love is more important than anything else. It is what ties everything completely together. Each one of you is a part of the body of Christ, and you were chosen to live together in peace. So let the peace that comes from Christ control your thoughts, and be grateful. Let the message about Christ completely fill your lives while you use all your wisdom to teach and instruct each other. With thankful hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Whatever you say or do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, as you give thanks to God the Father because of him.
And let us pray. Most holy God, grant that what we speak with our lips, we may believe in our hearts. And what we believe in our hearts, we may show forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Years ago, in a church I served previously, a church member told me a great little story about the impact of a lack of forgiveness in marriage. I have permission from them to tell this story, but rather than using their real names, even though they're not part of this church, I'm simply going to call them Bill and Sarah. So Sarah told me that early in her marriage to Bill, she made a pie, the first pie she'd ever made for him. The pie had a graham cracker crust, and the recipe indicated that she could set the crust either by baking it in the oven for a few minutes or by simply putting it in the fridge. The fridge option was simpler, so that's what Sarah decided to do. When the appointed time had come and the crust was supposed to have set in the fridge as long as it should have, she poured in the filling. Then, after the whole pie had set and they prepared to eat the pie, Sarah realized something unfortunate. Setting the crust in the fridge really had not been the best option, because the crumbs hadn't gelled together the way they would have if she had set the crust in the oven. Despite the setback, however, they ate the pie, crumbly crust and all. While they were eating it, Bill commented that it was not as good as his mother's version of the pie. When Sarah told me this story, she closed it by saying, "It was 11 years before Bill got his second pie." 11 years. Call it a new wife's grudge. Call it a new husband's poorly timed critical comment. Call it what you will. It needed a little forgiveness. It needed a little grace. Thankfully, the pie ordeal was minor. Bill and Sarah have had a long, happy marriage, and clearly, Sarah eventually made more pies, despite Bill's unfortunate comment about her first pie. In his book, Finding Peace Through Letting Go, Adam Hamilton's book on forgiveness, Reverend Hamilton frequently uses an image Pastor Mark brought into his message last weekend. The image of stones weighing down a metaphorical, emotional, and spiritual backpack. The idea of this image is that in life, we all carry around with us a metaphorical backpack. And either by our own actions or by the actions of others, stones of various sizes get added to our backpack. Someone does or says something hurtful to us, and it's like they add a stone to our backpack. Or we do or say something hurtful to someone else, and we've added a stone to their backpack. The more stones, the heavier the backpack, the more difficult it is to trek through life. These metaphorical stones can be tiny pebbles, a dish left on the counter, or they can be giant boulders, abuse, infidelity. To my former church member, Sarah, Bill's comment about her pie was, I would guess, about a 5-pound stone to her since she waited 11 whole years to make him another pie. That seemingly small comment of Bill's felt heavy enough to Sarah that it was 11 whole years before she decided she was tired of carrying that stone around with her. Now that said, and I'm just guessing here, it's possible, Bill did not do much to apologize and make up for his comments. If he had, perhaps that stone would have been lighter and wouldn't have stayed in Sarah's backpack as long as it did. It's often a two-way street with these things. Well, this is now the third week of our New Year, New Chapter sermon series on the gracious and challenging mystery that is forgiveness. Forgiveness is the divine ability to remove the stones others have placed in our backpacks through harmful words and actions. Forgiveness is the lightening of our emotional and spiritual load. The first week of this series centered around the importance of saying six particular words: I am sorry and I forgive you. Last week, week two, was a message on God's forgiving response to our sin, to those stones. This week, it's time to think about the importance of forgiveness within intimate romantic relationships, namely forgiveness within the marriage relationship. Now, before I go any further in this message, I want to offer a word of care and caution. Many of you in this very room have experienced deep pain in the midst of marriage or other romantic relationships. For some of you, that pain led to separation or divorce. Some of you have already experienced the kind of forgiving grace you've needed to experience as related to your separation or divorce, while others of you are still healing. Please know it is my sincere hope and prayer that forgiving grace you need does indeed wash over you, that the heavy stones get removed from your backpack. Know also, it is not my intention to add pain to any open wounds as I offer this particular message, so if I strike a nerve, please consider talking with me about it. I'd also refer you to Adam Hamilton's book on forgiveness. We have copies on the welcome table in the clear story behind the sanctuary. There is far more depth in the pages of the book than either Pastor Mark or I can express in a single sermon. All right, switching gears for a second. For the sake of this sermon, I'm going to admit to you that I dreamed about getting married for about 3 decades before it became an actual possibility in my life. And when I dreamed about this, the dream was mostly about what I and the wedding party would wear on the big day. Okay, if I'm truly honest, the dream was mostly about what I would wear. Well, after those 3 decades of dreaming, I met my Mr. Right, and just over a year ago, we had the wedding of my dreams. While there were certainly quirks in the midst of it, our wedding was beautiful. We all looked great, if I do say so myself. And our ceremony included today's reading from Colossians 3. Though this wasn't present in the translation of the Bible we heard Lida read from a few minutes ago, a theme of this Colossians 3 reading is clothing. So, here again, a bit of our reading from Colossians 3, this time from the New International Version of the Bible. St. Paul writes this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. What we wear matters. The clothing we wear makes a statement to the world about who we are. We understand this personally because we have to make choices about clothing every day. And when it comes to weddings, what gets worn is always extremely important. Adam Hamilton reads from Colossians 3 at every wedding he officiates, powerful words to hear on a day when many people, the wedding party and family especially, are dressed to the nines. Yet Reverend Hamilton is clear in his wedding sermons that the clothing worn on that momentous day is not the most important clothing they will all wear. That clothing is the Colossians 3 virtues clothing. So he always reads this scripture passage when he officiates weddings. Then in his sermons at weddings, Adam Hamilton offers definitions for each of those Colossians 3 virtues with which we are to be clothed. He defines them as follows. Compassion is the act of putting yourself in your partner's shoes, of feeling what he or she is feeling. Kindness is performing the thoughtful acts that bless and encourage your partner with no expectation of something in return. Humility is respecting your partner as a human being and seeking to put his or her needs before your own. Meekness is gentleness. And patience is endurance and long-suffering, a willingness to bear with unpleasantness. When it comes to marriage, when it comes to any relationship, struggles come because we are not perfect. Struggles come because so often we fail to live these Colossians 3 virtues. So often we are not compassionate, we are not kind, we are not humble, not meek, not patient with our loved ones. Many of us carefully discern what we will clothe our bodies with each day. Yet too often we fail to ask God to help clothe us with these Colossians 3 virtues. When we fail to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, that's when we sin. That's when we add stones to someone else's backpack. And that's why we so desperately need God's gift of forgiveness. I've been married for just over a year now, and while my husband and I have encountered some small bumps along the way, thus far our marriage has been filled with joy. I know, however, that this may not always be the case. I know there will likely be times when those bumps in the road are more like boulders. Times when one or the other of us may put one of those boulders in the other's backpack. At this point, neither my husband nor I would seek to do that intentionally, but few people set out at the beginning of a relationship to cause harm to their partner. Yet it happens time and time again. Over the years, countless friends and church members have shared with me stories of their marital challenges, stories of neglect, of painful words spoken carelessly with no apology, stories of dreams that just weren't attended to and didn't come true, stories of infidelity, and stories of months, then years, of just missing each other emotionally, missing each other that resulted in a gulf so wide it seemed too wide to overcome. Perhaps more so than most other relationships, marriage requires that each spouse clothes themselves daily with those Colossians 3 virtues. It requires going to sleep giving thanks to God for the blessings your partner offers. And it requires waking up, knowing you yourself, you're not perfect. But whether or not we're married, these Colossians 3 virtues are meant for all of us. They are meant for all Christians. See, the good news for each of us, married, divorced, single, widowed, Christian, non-Christian, the good news for each of us is that our God offers us grace and strength for life's journey. And our God is the one who first forgives us, because none of us is perfect. Well, one of us was perfect. And he went to the cross for our sins in order to bring us closer to God and closer to one another. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ removed the weight of our sins. Receiving that gift of divine forgiveness is the first step in lightening the load in your backpack. Then when you come to truly understand yourself as a beloved, beautiful, forgiven child of God, then will your heart and mind be opening to experience forgiveness with others in this life. Remember Bill and Sarah? Remember how I said that perhaps Sarah had simply held on to Bill's pie comment stone for a little too long, maybe 11 years too long? If she did indeed choose to do that, it's partly her own fault she carried that stone around for so long. But if Sarah told Bill his comment was hurtful, and Bill never apologized and worked to change his behavior, then it was partly his fault that stone kept weighing her down. Sometimes we hurt people intentionally, but we can't read each other's minds, so we honestly don't always know when we've placed a stone in someone else's backpack. That's why communication is critical. That's what those ever important six words are for. I am sorry. I forgive you. Forgiveness is not an easy journey. If the stone is large, forgiveness will not come quickly. It usually takes the work of all parties involved. But most importantly, it takes the grace of God and a closet full of Colossians 3 clothing. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, for your ever-flowing mercy and forgiveness, we give you thanks. And for your guidance in this clothing, in these virtues, we also give you thanks. Send your Holy Spirit to make us new where newness is needed. And in the words of St. Francis, where there is hatred, so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Make us new. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.